Amen. All right. I'm going to turn this on, Brother Bob.
Green light. And the pulpit mic's still on, too. Okay. All right. Here we go. Open your Bibles. Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. Amen. Proverbs chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading verse number 11. We'll read down through verse 13. The Bible tells us, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. And again, instruction is given from a father here specifically, and in life in general, instruction is given to help children grow up to be able to enjoy life. Enjoy life. I mean, we're not us adults. We're not. It's not our goal to try to see how miserable we can make your lives. Our goal is to prevent as much as we can of the problems that you could possibly face by making bad choices, and do our best to teach you good choices, give you good instruction. Verse number 11 says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. In right paths. The goal of that as a parent, the goal of that is to allow the child to become accustomed to a certain type of life, that prayerfully that would become their comfort zone, and if they ever get out of it, they can get back into it. I've led them right paths. I mean, it's not parents. We don't want to expose our children to a bunch of wickedness. We want that to be foreign. We want that to be as foreign as possible. But lead them in right paths. Let them listen to good music. Make sure they're watching right things on TV. Make sure they're around the right kind of people. Make sure the language is clean around them. We don't want to have them associated with their life as being right paths. So if they ever get out of it, they can get back into it. And that's the, you know, just the whole idea. That's what this father had in mind for this son. He said, I've done all these things. I've invested into your life so that when you go, your steps will not be straightened. And when you run, you'll not stumble. You've been led in right paths. And so we're talking about learning to make wise decisions. We've been doing this now for about 2 months almost, 2 months of Wednesdays, learning to make wise decisions. Hopefully you understand the value of that. My goodness, you know, if we can learn to make wise decisions, it would sure keep us from a whole lot of heartache and pain and misery. And I believe that that's possible. I believe it is possible to learn how to make good decisions, how to make wise decisions, and so that is our goal. Well, as we continue in our studies to learn the value of, as well as some practical ways to make wise decisions, we're going to draw tonight our study on this lesson, on this series, to a close. And I don't know, I may do one more, just kind of a Wednesday night overview, so to speak. But tonight will be the last main point. One more area to factor in when it comes to making wise decisions. Again, just to recap real briefly, number one, we said that, and these are things that are, if we factor them in when we're ready to make a decision, make sure that we check these off our list, if you will. Number one, know your flesh. Know your flesh. If you do not know and are aware of the draw of your own flesh, you can make bad decisions. Know your flesh. Why? Because it's led by a corrupt heart. The Bible says our heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Desperately wicked. Desperately wicked our heart is. It's led by a corrupt heart. It's consumed with selfishness. And it is anti-God in nature. It's against the things of God. And so when it comes to decision making, if you don't know your flesh, you just kind of go with the flow, so to speak, you might find yourself in a mess. Secondly, know your faith. Know your faith. My goodness, you here at the Longview Baptist Church and then Many of you have been in good Bible preaching, Bible believing churches, and you just come often. I feel sorry for people that come just as a sitting, a spectator, just kind of there. This is just where they go. But to learn to apply what they hear to their lives seems to be so foreign. You know, that's just what we do at church. That's just what they say at church. No, know your faith. Know your faith. And though, why? Because your faith will help you to be strong so that you can make good decisions. Your faith will help you to be steadfast, help you to be established, help you to continue. You can continue in the faith. It'll help you to be established. It will help you to be sound. It'll help you to have the power to resist Satan steadfastly in the faith. And so, know your faith. Know your faith. Number three, know your Father. I'm talking about your Heavenly Father. Know God. Develop a relationship with the Lord. Because the more you know about the Lord, the more you can discern His will in your decision making. I mean, it just works all the way around. You'll know His will. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, He says, and goes on. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. It doesn't happen, though, if you don't know God. Learn to know the Lord. You'll know His will. You'll know His work. You'll say, okay, here's an opportunity. Here's an option set before me and a decision to be made. When I know His will and I understand His work, if I factor those things in, it might help me to make the right decision. Know His work, know His way, know His walk, and lastly, know His wrath. Listen, you make a rebellious decision when you understand these things and you go against God's will. He's gonna get a hold of you. Our God is a consuming fire, the Bible tells us. Okay, number one, know your flesh. Number two, know your faith. Number three, know your Father. Number four, know your friends. Know your friends. Watch those people around you that call themselves your friends. Because everybody that calls themselves your friend is not the right kind of friend. There are good friends and there are bad friends. Bad friends are generally selfish in nature. Bad friends are generally subtle, very sneaky, very deceptive. And bad friends are normally very secretive. You know, don't tell anybody. Just between us. Don't make sure nobody knows. Those are bad friends. Bad friends. All right? And then secondly, there are good friends. Good friends are generally concerned about things that are right. They're just concerned about that which is right. They find out that maybe you stole something, they're liable to try to get you to return it immediately. If they see that you're doing wrong, they'll probably say something. They're concerned about right. That is a good friend. They're respectful. And they are responsible. So know your friends. And then number five, know your foe. Obviously, you better be aware of the devil, the enemy. And the Bible says he's an adversary, he's a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Know his tactics, know his tricks, know his temptations, and then know his testimonials. Learn about how the devil got involved in other people's lives. Learn from that. Learn from that and remember those things. And you said number six, or last week, we said, know your faults, know your weaknesses. I don't know all, remember we talked about kind of three different categories. There are natural or spiritual faults, our flesh, and then learning to live by faith. We battle that. All of us are alike in that. And then there are natural faults, things that we may have inherited from our ancestors, things that were passed down to us. And remember we mentioned that the sins of the father passed on to the third and fourth generation. It's there. It's there. You know, I didn't say much about it, but I think I know I mentioned in the past, I think in my father, I'm talking about my biological father, my dad, we see three main character flaws. Three main character flaws. One is he got mixed up with alcohol in an early age. He was a drunkard, and that's one reason why him and my mom did not stay married as husband and wife for very long at all. Just a lot of problems. Alcohol. Number two, he always was consumed with ideas of getting rich quick. Man, we'll be able to make a lot of money at this job and doing that event and boy, doing that. Man, it just all works out. It's a great idea. And just always consumed with those things. And then thirdly, he would never stay put. He'd always leave. And there my mom was raising children, my dad out doing whatever he wanted to do, you know, and just would be gone and just a mess. Well, I see in those flaws, I see he had three sons. And more just as plain could be, my brother was a drunkard and would probably still be, except that now he's got the word kill him. But my brother's been consumed with alcohol. My older brother. My younger brother, he can't ever seem to get anything to work out. But he's always got a good idea. You ever met somebody like that? They ought to get a job telling other people how to get a job. Because they always got it figured out. And then number three, wouldn't stay put. And guess who got that? Man, at 14 years old, I just decided I wanted to go stay with my other family members. And I loaded up my bicycle, whatever you load on a bicycle, and hit the road. And I'm telling you, that's just right there. It's a flaw. It's a flaw. A natural flaw. And at some point, I had to break out of that and recognize the wisdom of breaking out of that. And that's what I'm saying. Know your flaws. Know your flaws so that you can factor those things in when it comes to your decision making so that you make the right decisions. Know your faults. We said A, confront them. We said B, combat them. And we said C, confess them. Confess your faults one to another. He goes on, that you may be healed. Amen. That God, you know, sometimes sharing those things, get folks praying for you and dealing with them helps you to overcome them when it comes into your decision making. Well, tonight, lastly, we're going to look at number seven, know your future. Know your future. Know your future. We're here in Proverbs chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse number 20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Notice the focus here. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil. Here the Father has given the instruction. We noted that earlier. And I believe, and especially for our application's sake, I believe this Father was successful in imparting wise counsel. And I believe that the Son has heard and has made the decision to follow that wise counsel. Say, where do you get that from? Well, in verse number 21, notice what he said there. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Let them not depart from thine eyes. That means he at least had them centrally focused at one time. Let them not depart. Where are they now? In front of thine eyes. Don't let them depart from there. And then he says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. I believe positionally the wisdom that was instructed was before that young man's eyes and was in the midst of his heart. And the instruction is, now that you've got them, don't lose them. Don't lose them. Keep them. Protect them. Don't let them depart from thine eyes, because right now he sees them. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, because I believe the counsel at this point was received in the heart, in the midst of thine heart, as the Bible says. And as in the case with many a young man and young lady, oftentimes at a youthful age, they get it. They get it. They get it, I believe that they become determined to reach that particular goal, to become that sort of a Christian, to become that sort of an example, to become that sort of servant to God Almighty, even to the place where they may stand behind the pulpit on a platform such as this and commit themselves to a church that I have decided to follow Jesus. I believe that's the case of this young man right here. It is the case of many a young people growing up. But then life begins to happen. That one that often we know people stood up and said, "Man, I believe God's called me to preach His holy word." Young men and young ladies stand up. I want to be faithful to God with my life. And I know we look and we say, "Well, what about what they said?" And well, they don't mean business. They're always saying that. Always, no. I believe they mean it. I believe they mean it. I believe they mean it every time. Nobody makes you say anything. And so people do it. They say, they make these commitments and they determine God's direction for their life, that we're going to be faithful and we're going to stick with the old paths and we're going to be a sell out to God. And then life begins to happen and much of what was unforeseen begins to unfold. And that person comes into their life. They didn't see that when they stood up here and made such a commitment to God. Now, I believe they meant that commitment. But didn't realize that that person would come into their life. Not only that person, but that opportunity came along. That opportunity came along. They did not see that when they made that commitment to serve God. They didn't see that when they made that commitment to preach the Word. They didn't see that when they made that commitment to go to the mission field. They didn't see that when they made that commitment to be faithful to God. When they made that commitment to Bible college. When they made that commitment to study His Word and be faithful to the Lord. They didn't see that person. They didn't see that opportunity come along. And they did not see that circumstance that would take place. And now what was at one time crystal clear concerning the path of their life has now been made very cloudy and confusing. Very cloudy and confusing. What happened? What happened? Well, I think the answer is found not in what came upon them. It's what they got their eyes off of. They took their eyes off of that one-time commitment, that one-time vision that they had of their life being submitted to the Lord, having His blessings, living by faith, and being blessed of God. They got their eyes off of that and got their eyes on these other things that come in. And for those certain times in life, because of them, now they do not know their future. They don't know their future. It's just kind of up in the air now. And so decisions don't really mean a whole lot. Don't really have any value. There's no plan. There's no vision. They don't see themselves now like they once did. It's so important to keep that before us. From the moment they made that commitment, from the moment they saw themselves faithful to God, being used of the Lord in a mighty and a powerful way, They saw that. They told everybody that they would. And man, they were so happy and so excited. But they did not keep a keen eye. Notice the word keep in verse number 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That speaks of protection, building a hedge about it, not allowing it to be turned. To keep a keen eye on that goal of the future that they determined at one time was right, and it was right. Verse 11 says, I've led you in right paths. It was runnable, verse 12 says, in this path you can run and you won't stumble. And it was a rewarding path, as in verse 13. He says, for she is thy life. And I believe in verse number 22, the Bible says, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. The benefits of this life is rewarding. Amen. And here in Proverbs 4, 20 through verse 27, we see that upon the receiving of that wisdom, if what I say is so, that at this point here in verse number 21, that we are introduced to a young man that sees that wisdom, that has allowed it to come into his heart, then the very moment that is received, the very moment that wisdom, the receiving of that wisdom and that instruction, there is a path that has been laid. Then we see out of the scripture, there must be an all-out effort to protect that progress toward that end. Protect that progress. I got an illustration here. I got some caution tape. And never mind that it's caution tape, amen. It's more importantly that we realize that it is a path, amen. Brother Dwayne, I might need your help. See how my bowling is? Oh, man, got it by Brother Tom. Grab that and roll it out through there if you would, please. All right, and just lay it there on the ground, please, just flat. That's just as clear as a bell to me. And how many young people and how many new people that have come to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's given them a clear direction. I mean clear. They see it. Man, we see families that, man, their home's torn apart by drugs and alcohol. All of a sudden they get on this path. And boy, as they go this way, man, things begin to come together. Children begin to get in line. A husband's wife begin to love one another as they should. Man, that path is set. And it's just right there. We talk about young people making commitments to the Lord to preach the gospel. They see. They don't always see the path, but I do believe they see it miraculously. In their mind, they see way back here. They make the decision down there to one day be here. You know it so. Think about it. Those of you that surrendered to preach the gospel, you said, I want to preach the gospel. You didn't know what all was included in it. You wanted to get to this point here where you were literally busy, actively involved in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't necessarily know how it was going to happen, but this is what you saw. When you commit to serve God as a young man with your life, to be a missionary or go to Bible college or to raise up a godly family, this end is what you see. This is your future. Now, the father told the son there that after he had said it, got that instruction before his eyes, after he had that wisdom that was in the midst of his heart, he immediately the father said, you make absolutely sure that you set your eyes on that and don't get distracted. But often we don't. Rather than looking at that, we often maybe look at this. Or as we start going that way, we begin to look this way and that way. And before you know it, we're way over here somewhere. We're way over here. Wondering, how'd that happen? How'd that happen? And you're around people in your life and they come to you and they say, yeah, I remember I made that decision over there. Was it just emotions? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he saw something. He saw something. But because we didn't keep our heart with all diligence, we're way over here. And now that goal seems so far away. That path at one time was so clear. So clear. The need to know our future. Get a vision. To see where God would have you go. And then to go that direction. To make sure everything you do is in line with that end result. If you do that, you'll make good decisions. You'll make good decisions. All the things in life that will come in. If you got your eyes on that, they will help you make good decisions. That vision will help you make good decisions all along. If you lose that, then you're going to be like the wave of the sea that's tossed. It's just tossed. Whatever comes along is going to be where you go. You don't have any vision of what the future is or what God wants to use you for in that future. As we see in our scripture, there must be an all-out effort to protect our progress toward that end. Hence the thought tonight, know your future. A couple of things we see here. Number one, we are told in verse number 23, keep thy heart. Do not allow anything to pull you away from that vision, to pull you away from that path. All the things we've talked about, your flesh, your faith, your father, your foe, your friends, your faults, all these things that are there, if we utilize and recognize them, then they'll be on high alert to anything that will try to get us off of that path. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? For out of it are the issues of life. Remember, the goal here is to have life. Protect that heart, because out of it, if it gets turned, beloved, if it gets turned, you're going to be off the path. You'll be off the path. Because if we allow something to deter our heart, we will lose sight of the goal. Verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. When I begin to study this in light of this protecting the path, I don't think he's telling the son, hey son, do not have a froward mouth. And do not have perverse lips. I believe what he's saying is, when people come into your life that have a froward mouth and have perverse lips, put them away. Put them away. Put away from thee. Why? We're staying on the path. We're going that direction. We're keeping the instruction and wisdom before our eyes. And in the midst of our hearts, we're keeping our heart and we're getting away from us those with a perverse lips and a froward mouth. Put them away. You got some old some old jackleg friend of yours will come around always mocking authority and putting down the men of God and putting down the things of church, but put them away from you. They ain't going to help you. They're not going to help you. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Verse 25, look straight ahead. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. See that focus, straight before thee. And then verse 7, why? Because we're staying faithful. We want to reach that goal. We get it as a young person. We get it as a new convert. We understand it, and there it is, and I'm going that way. I'm keeping my heart. I'm putting away those with perverse lips. And I'm looking straight ahead. And then verse 26, I'm pondering the path of my feet, so that all my ways can be established. I believe this speaks of just personal examination. Where are you at in it? Remember a minute ago when I was over at this side of the auditorium I should have examined. Here's my path right here. If I get off right here and I'm pondering the path of my feet, you know what I can do very, very easily from here? Get right back. But my goodness, if I get way, way over here, I can't even see the path hardly. And as time goes by, I'm liable to be further back here, or maybe I have to go up here and start over, and all that, and I'm just so confused. But if I'm pondering the path of my feet, if I'm determined, hey, I'm going the right way, right? Here's this decision. Is this a good decision? Is it going to help me go that way? If my feet are turned sideways, I'm looking at that. Oh, wait a minute. I can't see. It's not in front of me. I can establish my feet and get back on the path. The father's telling that son, okay, now that you get it, don't lose it. Don't lose it. Personal examination is always good. All of these things that are presented here in Proverbs chapter number 4, all of these require from us a deliberate, determined, and an undistracted focus on the future. Now, for the child of God, we should strive to get to that place where we, as children of God, are bringing glory to our God. We're living a life. That vision, when that young man decides or that young lady decides to live their lives for God, by the way, it can be an 8 or 9 year old young child. Could be a teenager. Man, we hear it. Man, we talk about these little boys and they're learning their scriptures, Aunt Jenny, in their classes. They love God. They love the Lord. I see these little girls and boys running around here and, man, they're so excited. They know their Bible trivia and, boy, they're learning these things. They love God. What happened? Got their eyes off what they saw themselves as for God. So it requires from us, we as God's children, as we are striving, as we live our lives, we hope that the end result is that we are glorifying God with our lives. Whatever that is, preaching the gospel, being on the mission field, being faithful to church, bring your family along in the Lord, and all these good things to glorify the Lord. This means then, that at the heart of our heart, there must be a desire not only to know His will, but to make decisions which will allow us to fulfill His will. Now, all right, so there we go. If I want that result in my life, if I want that result, then I've got to keep at the very base of my being, the very center of my being, a desire to make sure that every decision I make is a part of leading me to that place. Now guess what we're doing? We're making good decisions. Why? Because we're focused on our future. We know our future. I want to give you some key areas to focus on concerning our future. These may act as stages, if you will, along life's road, which, if we succeed in them, that is, if these stages, if we're successful in doing them right, they will help us, they'll give us strength to go to the next one and to make it to that point that we had a vision of. Make it to that point. Number one, or letter A underneath Roman numeral 7, mature right. Mature right. Grow up right. Grow up right. I'm talking about when you're still at home. I'm talking about when children are still at home. You got to start there. Remember, because we're talking about children, this is an instruction of a father to a child. And the child sees it, and the child has it in the midst of his heart. So right there where you're at, begin to take the steps to make good decisions there at home. Mature right. Mature right. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. The Bible tells in Ephesians chapter number 6. As soon as I get there, I'll tell you, amen. Ephesians chapter number 6. And verse number 1. There it is. I do have it. They just stuck together. Children. All right, there we are. Children. Obey your parents. What if I don't like it? Children. Obey your parents. What if I don't agree with children? Obey your parents. If you start off in this process, you've decided, hey, I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm going to preach the gospel. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to know the Bible. I want to teach my family in the future when we get down there. I want to teach them right. Then it starts right here at the beginning. Children, obey your parents. Obey your parents. I say sometimes, and I know people look at me funny when I say it, but children, teenagers, you're raising your children right now. They are going to become, remember I told you about my dad, it's just that plain. Oftentimes, we want? We want our kids to get whatever good traits we may possess. That's usually not what happens. Because of the constant draw of the flesh, I believe they'll pick right up on the things that we wish they would never pick up on. And it's a part of them. Children. You want children? You want children someday that will obey you? Then you obey. Mature right. When I say mature right, what you're doing is now you're being proactive. Our young people are being proactive to make the decision to be a good child. I'm going to obey my mother and I'm going to obey my father. They're not necessarily making me, I'm choosing to because I want to end up there. I got a vision of what God's going to do in my life. They don't have to make me. I'm doing it. I'm maturing right. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. He goes on to say, for this is right. Verse number 2, honor. Not only obey, but honor thy father and thy mother. Which is the first commandment with promise. Children, we are to obey parents. I'm talking about maturing right. Starts in the home, mature right. Obey and honor your parents. There in, verse number, bear with me, verse number 3. He says, notice the benefit, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest what? Live. Long on the earth. It's all about life. So we mature right. We obey mother. We obey father. We obey and we honor them. The word honor has to do with making them shine, making them look good. You know, you can obey mom and dad, but you can obey them and not honor them. We see it a lot of times when teenagers get behind mom and dad's back. They turn into the old Jekyll and Hyde type thing. That doesn't honor them. But we honor them. We're maturing right. We're obeying them and we're honoring them. Number three, learn to receive rebuke. Proverbs 29, verse number 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Man alive. Hey, Junior, get them shoes picked up. They're always telling me what to do. Yeah, I know that's exaggeration, but you get it. Sometimes you think it's just the least little things will set the laws walled off. Just set them off. You'd think you ask them to crawl over the Sahara Desert on their hands and knees. No, man, all it says is pick up your shoes. Parents, I figured it out. All you got to do is call them friends of theirs and let them tell them pick them up. Oh, okay, man, no problem. We can do that. That pride. It isn't but just old, ugly pride. We'll move right along. Anyway, don't harden that neck. He that being often reproved, and he's talking about that after that reproof just hardens your neck. In other words, you just kind of bow up. Who do they think they are? The old silent treatment. I'm not talking to you for 2 weeks because you did me wrong. Yeah, you did them wrong. You made them take out the trash. How could you? Made them pick up their clothes. How could you? God forbid you made them make their bed in the morning. How could you? Anyway, number four, learn to receive chastening. Learn to receive chastening. You know, there's a right way to receive chastening. Again, you can get bitter. That was the danger that's introduced to us in Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 11. The Bible says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." Amen to that. But what grievous, that's a good word for it. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Talking about how to receive chastening. Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, watch this, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Here's our life. We're talking about getting to that point there. And along this way, we're going to, number one, we need to mature right. If in his maturing, there's obeying and there is honoring. There is learn to receive rebuke, and there's also learn to receive chastening. And he says, if we do not receive these things right, and specifically here chastening, we can fail of the grace of God. It'll knock us off the path. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Why? Because we didn't know how to receive chastening. Again, us parents, and I can do it, amen. I can make people receive it. My children. I can make them receive it. At least outwardly. But boy, it's a lot better if they choose to receive it inwardly. Number one, or letter A, mature right. Letter B, marry right. On that stages of life. We're getting to that goal. Remember the vision? We got a vision. I'm going to serve God with my life. At that point, you had a vision. When you said, I'm going to serve God with my life, I don't doubt, and I'd be surprised if it's not so, that there was an image that you saw when you made that decision. And that's what we're going toward. That time of service, that place of an existence in which everything about us is consumed with the blessings of the Lord. We start out by maturing right. The next stage we go to is that we want to make sure that we marry right. Boy, oh my goodness. Marry right, because if you marry wrong, it's going to cost you for the rest of your days. a lot more than you care to consider. Mary, right. In 1 Kings chapter number 11, we're told of Solomon. Solomon said concerning his wives, because they were not of the God of Israel, that they turned away his heart after other gods. His wives were not in unity with his God. I'll tell you right now, you'd better quickly move beyond the outward looks of an individual. She's so pretty. He's so handsome. Because as we all know, the sands of time quickly shift. They say beauty is only skin deep, but I'll tell you this, ugliness goes all the way to the bone. And you can doll up ugliness all you want to. It's always ugly. We marry somebody based on how they look, and then you realize it don't matter how much makeup they put on, they're ugly. Because they got an ugly heart, and they got an ugly mind, and they've got an ugly set of morals. You married that. You better quickly look beyond the outward looks and get to the very inward likes concerning a potential mate. What really makes them tick? What are they really like? Words that ought to be defined when concerning a mate. Number one, the word Lord and their relationship with the Lord. You need to define that. You know the Lord? Oh yeah, I know the Lord. Well, my goodness, every drunk down on Pine Street down there say they know the Lord. Even while they're sticking dope in their arm, they know the Lord. You better learn to define that. How do they walk with the Lord? How do they view the Lord? Do they have a relationship with the Lord? Do they hold Him in high esteem? Do they see God as you do? Where are they in their relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm talking about Mary and Wright. Well, they're a Christian. In every relationship, and even in a marriage relationship, when you have either one, we can see the man over here, the woman over here. If you have either one, if their standards, their walk with Christ could be this high. But if one of them's walk with the Lord is only this high, this one's got to come down in order to get along. Have to come down. Unless you just have something that most people don't have, and that is just a determination to say, hey, you know what? You need to just move on down the road. Because I'm going to serve God with my life. Amen. And that's a hard thing, but I'm telling you, it's there. Words that need to be defined. How do they, their relationship with the Lord? Number two, the word love. Need to define that. What does that mean to you? What does the word love mean to you? I'm talking about in that potential mate. Do they love you? Do they give of themselves for you? Well, I would think, if I was a young lady and I truly loved this young man, whatever he loved, I would want to love. In other words, I would give myself for that individual. If I was a young man and I saw a young lady that had a desire for the things of God, had a desire for whatever, if I truly loved her, I would give of myself to be where she is in her walk. Now, do they love you enough to give of themselves to you, or is their love defined as you give of yourself for me? There is a difference. They're always calling upon you to prove your love to them. They always want you to give of yourself for them. Mom and dad's told you, stay away from them. Stay away from them. They say, if you loved me, you'd still make a way. You'd still figure it out if you loved me. Well, that's not love. That's not love. Better define that. Number three, the word loyal. How is their relationship? How are they in their relationships to the people in their lives? Do they love God? Are they loyal to the Lord? How are they with their families? How are they with their families? Number four, I didn't even put nothing beside this word, but you'll figure it out real quick. Lazy. Lazy. I'm telling you what, if I was a young lady and I saw some guy that was, everybody else was around working, doing stuff, and this guy, every time he got close to work, he's backing up like this here, I'd say, oop, I need to go find somebody else. That guy ain't going to be able to get nothing done. It's going to be Monday morning, time to go to work so he can make money to support the family. He's going to be like, whoop. Lazy. Lazy. Work going on and they just want to scatter like roaches when the lights come on. No, better be finding somebody else. That's laziness. Just, that's all there is to it, just laziness. Number five, leaders. Talking about words to define, in a potential mate, a spouse for life. Define the word Lord. What does that mean to them? Define love. What does that mean? Loyalty. Are they lazy? And then consider leaders. Listen, a lot of times we're so wrapped up in our own infatuation that, remember, our flesh is there? Remember that? The flesh? And we can't see. But you know what? Those leaders in your life, those godly leaders in your life, they're not caught up in that. And you'll get good counsel. You'll get good counsel from them. Man, you're foolish. If you got somebody you're looking at as a potential mate in life and you won't go talk to your parents, you should already know that answer. You won't bring it up to your pastors because there's something there that's telling you already know that answer. Mature right. Be merry right. Letter C, money right. Money right. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. Very, very popular passage of Scripture. Verse number 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. All right, notice this progression of life. As a child, we're maturing right. We're learning to obey and honor, to receive rebuke, to receive chastening. We take that into our young adult life, and now we're looking into our marriage. Notice the stages. Successful here helps you to be successful here. We're marrying right. From here, now we're looking at, all right, what are we going to do to support ourselves, our family, myself and my wife, or a husband, or a wife with her husband. We do these things right, they're going to help us get to that vision that we have there. Money right. The love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all evil. We're going to have to make sure we've got that right. Verse 10, he said, watch this, which while some coveted after. See that? That view concerning money. Some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Oh, there's a problem. Right there. Because one of the things we need to know is our faith. But because of this love for money and not having our money right, we've erred from the faith, and because of that, pierced ourselves through with many sorrows. I'm telling you, you got off track there. Matured right, married right. You want to make sure your money is right. I wrote down in my notes here, listen, it's not about how many figures you have in your income. It's about your ability to be faithful to God. Not about the figures. It's about your ability to be faithful. When it comes to your money, have character. Have character. Realize that just because you may want something does not mean you have to have it. Have character. Number two, be disciplined with your money. Be disciplined with it. Pay your bills. Pay your bills. Remember our marriage couples retreat. Contrary to popular belief, there is no such thing as a bill-paying fairy. And trees really don't, I mean, money really doesn't grow on trees. It's so funny, man. I've seen people enter into life and they'd never realize that they will actually turn that electricity off. They really will. I know you think that somewhere in government that they've got it all figured out, somebody's going to take care of it, but no, they really will turn it off. And because you grew up in mom and dad's home and they took care of all that stuff, you never had to experience it. You just thought, hey, it's just always going to be there. No, somebody got to pay that bill. They got to pay it. Have character. Be disciplined. Pay those bills. Be obedient to God in these things. Be obedient. Be obedient. Give of your tithes and your offerings to the Lord. There is more to life than making a bunch of money. The Bible says back in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, I didn't read these, I want to catch up here. But in verse number 6, the Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts. He said, which drown men in destruction and perdition. I meant to read verse number 5. Go back there with me so I can get this phrase. Perverse disputings of men, corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Watch this. Supposing that gain is godliness. I'm blessed of the Lord. How do you know that? Because I got a bunch of money in my pocket. No, most likely that's not the case. Most likely you did exactly what he's talking about here. You fall into the snare of the devil. And he says, when people that have that mindset, it says that gain is godliness, he says there, withdraw thyself. From such, withdraw thyself. Mature right, marry right, money right, and letter D, lastly, minister right. Minister right. Philippians chapter number 2. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, our godly example, the Son of God, who set the standard when it comes to labor and service for the Lord. Verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I'm at you, you that has matured right, you that have married right, you that understand that your money is right. Now we're getting into our life, in our ministry, in our walk with the Lord. We're going to be ministering right. We're going to esteem others better than ourselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What mind is that? What mind is that? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took upon him the form of a servant and made in the likeness of sinful man. He was a servant. Servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Minister right. Here's life. Now, you see this progress? Here you had a vision, a young child. Man, I want to serve God. I love the Lord. I'm memorizing Scripture, man. I'm learning the Bible. I'm telling others about Jesus. Man, I'm being a godly example. I see it in my mind. I see it. That's where I'm going. And since I'm going, my eyes are set on that, I've established some things to help me to get there. First of all, I'm going to mature right. I'm going to obey my mother and father, and I'm going to learn to receive your rebuke and chastening. And then I'm going to marry right. I'm going to define these things of a person's relationship with the Lord and love and loyalty. And are they lazy? And I'm going to get outside influence to help me to marry right. And then I'm going to move to this place where my money is right. I'm not trying to get a whole bunch of money. I'm not trying to be wealthy and rich. All I want to do is I want to support my family and be faithful to my God. I'm content with whatever the Lord has me as I can take care of my responsibilities. Hey, listen, God may give me a lot more, but here's the thing. It's not me going after it. That's the difference. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. So my money is right. And from that, now I'm in this life and I'm ministering. I got me Sunday school class. Me and my family, we're serving God together. Maybe we're in the choir together. We got a Sunday school class. Maybe we got a bus route and a van route, and we're ministering and we're serving. And boy, as we go through this, you know what? It ain't very long at all before we are right here. Right here in the place that we saw way back yonder. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Why? Because they'll detour us. Our eyes are looking right on. We're pondering the path of our feet. We're not turning to the right hand nor to the left. And if we get off, we're going to get right back on. We'll get right back on. In our ministry, let's be faithful to the Lord. Daily devotions. Be faithful to His church. You develop a routine. We're at church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. Don't play around with that stuff. Every generation tends to fall off. You've got a purpose. Generation, you must purpose not to do that. Usually the first generation, you know, esteem the Lord. Everything about God is holy and great. The next generation doesn't see Him quite like that. The next generation don't see Him quite like that. Until pretty soon, we can just stay home, watch TV, and serve God. It just happens. It does happen. Be faithful to His church. Find a place to serve. And serve God faithfully. Before you know it, you'll be at that vision. You'll be in that vision you saw as a young child. By the end of your journey, having strength of a family now, I'm talking about because you've nurtured your relationship with your mother and your father. Man, I tell you, that's one thing about maturing right. You don't got any burned bridges when it comes to your parents. Now you've got the strength of your family. You've got the strength of a spouse because you married right. You got financial stability because you moneyed right. You got the strength of a godly testimony because you're ministering right. You'll look back. When you get to that point, you'll look back. You'll look back and be so glad that you not only had that vision for the future, but you kept your eyes on it, fighting off any distractions that would hinder you from obtaining it. You knew your future and you never lost it. Well, I'll tell you, I think that's a wealth of information to help us get on that right line, that good path, right path, and stay faithful to it. Many of us are older, we've already made some bad decisions. But you could determine tonight to get back on the right line, get back on that path, and go on and serve God. Get a vision of what God can do with you. Don't cut Him short. Get a vision of what the Lord can do with you. And you get on that path. And don't you be deterred. Don't you be distracted. Keep walking. And you'll arrive at that place someday. Amen? Let's stand together, our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I do ask You to lead us. And guide us now in this invitation time. Lord, speak to our hearts and draw us close to You, we pray. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Where are you at tonight? Where are you at? You're in these things that I mentioned. You put yourself right in God's hands, allowing Him to grow you with the circumstances around you. So I wish I didn't have these things in my life. I know sometimes they're uncomfortable, but we don't realize there's a God in heaven. He's working these things out. He's got a plan. Best thing we can do is stay faithful. Stay right in there. Stay right in there. I'm praying about a spouse in life. Oh, a lot of people looking for companionship in life. Want to be married. Want to have somebody to spend their lives with. You want to make sure you do it right. I want to make sure you do it right. Finances, boy, be careful. While some coveted after, pierce themselves through with many sorrows. And then just be faithful to God. Find your ministry. Get in there and just kind of hunker down. Hoping to be flamboyant. He may not be the, you know, he may not be you teaching a thousand, preaching a thousand, thousands of people. But one day it might be. You don't do it for that anyway. You're just serving the Lord, letting Him worry about those things. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. It's perfect salvation to tell. It's not going to happen if we don't turn our eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. Things of this earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Sometimes we gamble with life. I don't even know if we gamble, if a gamble is the right word, but we just kind of figure it just kind of floating around there and we'll end up wherever we end up. Well, according to Proverbs chapter number 4, that was not the right approach to take. The right approach was to recognize where the Lord wanted you, get your eyes on that, and do not be deterred. Stay at it. Stay down. And the things I mentioned tonight, I'm not saying that you'd be a preacher. I'm not saying that you'd be a missionary. Just, you know, I just want you to be serving God and have the joy of the Lord in that. Well, these things will help you do that. Mature right, marry right, get your money right, and then minister. Amen. I think we're all called to minister some way. So, and I think you can be happy. It doesn't matter where it's at. Just serving Him. Together with your spouse, with your family. Amen? Amen. Good decisions. All right. Well, let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Let's do pray for some that are sick. Miss Lee is sick tonight. And also, Russell, share with me that Nate and Seth, I believe, are not feeling well. Keep them in your prayers. And anyone else that I'm missing? Oh, Junior. Junior is sick. Yes. Oh, is she? Okay.
Miss Carrie wouldn't be aware.
Okay. Amen. All right. Well, let's be dismissed in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Tom Carroll if you would ask God to dismiss us with His blessings.